This is In the News for November 22, 2005. I'm Scott Burguin of KSOWLP in Cottage Grove, Oregon. First story today is from Interpress Service News Agency at ipsnews.net, written by Marcela Valente. Argentina, NGOs call for partnership, not philanthropy. Many corporations have transformed social responsibility into a marketing tool to boost sales and improve their image. But today in Argentina, an alliance of civil society groups is advocating a paradigm shift to replace philanthropy with a new business culture. This is out of Buenos Aires, dated November 21st. The Argentine Platform of Civil Society Organizations for Concrete Social Responsibility was created by a coalition of 17 non-governmental organizations, or NGOs, dedicated to the environment, the fight against corruption, and labor, gender, and consumer rights issues. Forerunners to the Argentine platform include a campaign against sports clothing manufacturers that employ children and adolescents in their factories, carried out by the AFL-CIO, and the European Union's Green Book on Corporate Social Responsibility. But the local initiative stands out as the first to emerge from such a broad-ranging alliance of civil society groups. The platform is based on principles that have been agreed by the United Nations, the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, and the Organization of American States. But its main reference point is the UN Global Compact, a worldwide web of over 2,000 companies, along with UN agencies and labor and civil society groups, aimed at unifying corporate policies and practices and ensuring that they are in the line with universal ethical values agreed by consensus. The Global Compact, which was officially launched in 2000, was announced by UN Secretary General Kofi Annan in 1999 when he challenged business leaders to assume an ethical commitment to 9 principles relating to human rights, labor, and the environment, and which were later expanded to include a 10th principle against corruption. Virginia Lencina of Poder Ciudadano, or Citizen Power, a local NGO, said, quote, "We are convinced of the need for a change of paradigm in terms of corporate social responsibility to promote changes at the very core of companies and not only in their communications or public relations departments," end quote. The platform is open to adherence by new groups and companies, although an agenda of concrete issues has yet to be defined. Again, that story was from Interpress Service News Agency at ipsnews.net. Our next story is from the New Standard at newstandardnews.net. It's written by Brendan Coyne. Florida ACLU alleges rights violations in FTAA protests, dated November 21st. In a trio of lawsuits filed last week, the American Civil Liberties Union of Florida charged that police working in 3 Miami-area jurisdictions illegally arrested bystanders and protesters during a free trade convention held there in December 2003. In so doing, plaintiffs argue, police used unlawful force, seriously injuring an unknown number of people. The suits were filed on the second anniversary of the protests, which saw thousands of demonstrators confront a militarized police force as leaders from throughout the Western Hemisphere met to negotiate the Free Trade Area of the Americas, or FTAA. The unrest resulted in the arrest of 300 people and wounding of countless others. Collectively dubbed the Miami Model, tactics employed by the Miami, Dade, and Broward County Police have been universally denounced by anti-globalization activists, free speech advocates, and civil libertarians. Among the actions taken by Miami area police during the FTAA arrests were preemptive arrests, clandestine surveillance activities, including embedded reporters, and undercover police infiltrating among protesters, and the mobilization of a massive, heavily armed force that utilized pepper spray, stun guns, and batons, allegedly to antagonize protesters. In a statement announcing the lawsuits last Thursday, Florida ACLU Executive Director Howard Simon said the Miami model clearly violates free speech and due process rights and gives police officers license to effectively ignore part of their sworn duty. He said, quote, "Despite the pride that Mayor Manny Diaz and Police Chief John Timoney have taken in the Miami model, trampling on the constitutional rights of demonstrators in order to make downtown peaceful during the FTAA meetings was not a successful police operation," Simon said. He continued, quote, "Police officers failed to fulfill law enforcement's 2 equally important duties, ensuring the safety of the community and at the same time protecting everyone's constitutional rights," end quote. Unfortunately, Simon noted, quote, Taxpayers in several South Florida communities will now be required to compensate people from around the country for the violation of their constitutional rights, end quote. The lawsuits were filed on behalf of four labor union activists, a former New York Times reporter, and a college student whose skull baton-wielding police allegedly fractured. Most of the about 300 people arrested during the protests were subsequently released without charges, though many spent more than 24 hours in jail, the ACLU noted. Since the 2003 FTAA protests, police departments around the country have adopted portions of the Miami model, as the New Standard reported last year. Again, that article is from the New Standard News at newstandardnews.net. And finally today, an article from the New Internationalists at www.newint.org. It's titled The Wrong Label. It's written by David Ransom. In a move that has astonished campaigners in the trade and global justice movements, the giant Nestle Corporation has been awarded a fair trademark for a new brand of its coffee in Britain. There's never been anything quite like this. On the one hand, the world's largest food corporation, with annual revenues in excess of $60 billion, is promoting its new Partners Blend coffee in Britain as fair trade. On the other, Partners Blend has joined the rest of its products on the target list of a long-established and active boycott campaign against Nestle. Interested supporters of fair trade must be wondering what on earth is going on. Harriet Lamb, director of the Fair Trade Foundation, which provides the certification, is sanguine about Partners Blend. She said, quote, "This is a turning point for us and for the coffee growers. It's also a turning point for the many people who support fair trade and have been pressing the major companies to offer fair trade coffees," end quote. She does not, however, suggest who these many people may be. Patty Rundahl, for example, is less impressed. She is policy director at Baby Milk Action, which campaigns to prevent the aggressive marketing of baby milk to mothers who can't afford it and have no access to clean water. Rundahl said, quote, "To give a fair trademark to a company whose baby food trade systematically violates child rights on such a massive scale, contributing as it does to the deaths of millions of children, makes an absolute mockery of what the public believes the fair trademark stands for," end quote. Who is right? It's not difficult to sense which hand is currently the stronger. Nestle should be able to profit quite handsomely from the premium price on its Partners Blend in Britain, which has the world's premier fair trade coffee market. The lives of some coffee farmers in El Salvador and Ethiopia who are supplying Partners Blend will certainly be improved a little in the process. The same trend is occurring elsewhere. In the U.S., the Maverick Rainforest Alliance, having once certified Chiquita bananas, has added a coffee brand produced by Kraft, another of the big four transnational corporations which dominate the global trade in food. To its list of fair trade products, the giant Tesco retail chain and Starbucks coffee shops have also been granted fair trade certified brands. Clearly, the rapid growth of fair trade is causing some anxiety among the giant corporations in whose interests the international trading system is currently run. The question is whether fair trade is an alternative to the conventional market or just a branded niche within it. Harriet Lamb's many people must be the mainstreamers within the fair trade movement who are clearly heading for the niche. Such a course is, however, strewn with danger. Arguably, had Nestle wanted to put fair trade out of business, this is precisely what it would have done. Indeed, credible rumors had been circulating for some time that the corporation intended to launch its own ethical coffee brand in Britain with or without independent certification. It may just have been a veiled threat, but if, by way of mitigation, the Fair Trade Foundation feels that it has had its hand forced, then it should have learned an early lesson in the coercive ways of Nestle. There's much more about this article that you can get at www.newint.org. That's the New Internationalist. I encourage you to follow up, read it, and beware of so-called fair trade brands. This has been In the News for November 22, 2005. I'm Scott Perguin of KSOW LP in Cottage Grove. Thank you for listening. I'll talk to you next time.